The mystery of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, now we've come to your first Holy Communion day. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we came together on, well, it was a Thursday, the day of the Blessed Sacrament, and I asked you questions, and you pretty much knew quite a few of the answers. And do you remember that one special question I asked you? What's a mystery? And one of you gave a very good answer, I thought. A mystery is something you solve. Now, this coming from one of the little girls would perhaps make one think of the old days when girls grew up reading the Nancy Drew mystery stories and visits to the library. I think people only go to the library now to get a film, not a book, which is an odd thought, isn't it? And then there's Sherlock Holmes, his mysteries, books and movies both, and many, many a show based on the idea of solving the mystery. For us Catholics, what is a mystery? A supernatural truth revealed by God beyond our reason, but not against it. For Protestants, mysteries sit in their souls like a bare lump of rock there, acknowledged, believed, but never is any understanding of it sought. That's called theism. Reason enters into it not at all, and what they believe is quite disconnected from the reality of daily life or of understanding. For the modernists, the Novus Ordo, they'll tell you, well, yes, it's true in a way, but in another way, of course, it's not true. It was true yesterday, but today we understand these things better. And above all, they would say, in religion, you must use your reason in order to reason all faith away. Where do we Catholics stand concerning the mysteries of our faith? The mystery has its foundation in reason. Nothing in a revealed mystery, the Blessed Trinity, the Blessed Sacrament, the Incarnation, nothing is opposed to common sense or reason. There's no possible misunderstanding there, but the mystery is a bit like a skyscraper. It has its foundation deep in the ground, in rock, so it can rise high and stand solid. But then it rises, doesn't it? It goes beyond our reason, our understanding, up, up, up towards the sky, towards heaven. There's no contradiction in a mystery. An inner logic possesses it all. And by the gift of the Holy Ghost, understanding, I realize this more and more. And it becomes not merely true out there somewhere. Now it is true here on the inside for me. But today we consider not mystery in general, but the mystery of our faith, which is the Blessed Sacrament. Sacraments are mysteries, children. That is to say, there's some kind of an outward sign you see, remember? And you can solve that part because it points to something hidden on the inside, to a grace, some action of God in our souls. When the priest consecrates the Blessed Sacrament today, when he consecrates our Lord's precious blood, you will see him, and you must try to watch him, children. He'll lean over the chalice, and he'll whisper into it. You won't hear it, though. It's a whisper. And he'll say, in the Latin, he'll say, "For this is the chalice of my blood, of the new and eternal testament, the mystery of faith." And then he'll kneel down and adore. And we'll all look up and say, my Lord and my God. These words, mysterium fidei, mystery of the faith, they're not found in the Bible, because the Bible never was meant to be a sort of a manual, a how-to textbook. Where did they come from? They came from our Lord, or from the 12 apostles. And as St. Paul tells us today in the epistle, I handed down to you what I have received from the Lord, except it was kept a secret and wasn't talked about. That's another reason why the canon of the Mass came to be recited silently. It is a secret, the disciplina arcane, the discipline of the secret hidden things. That's where the mystery of the faith came from. And the Novus Ordo, 50 years ago, when they got rid of the Mass, they took out these words. We don't even know, they're so ancient, who put them in. They took them out, and they made the consecration into the telling of a story, a narrative, not something that's done by the priest here and now in the present, the offering of a sacrifice. The mystery of the faith, those words said by the priest, are an acclamation, an exclamation of wonder for God's presence here and now. They're not an acclamation for people to say about our Lord coming at the end of the world. If you've ever gone to the Novus Ordo, you say at this point, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. But what about Christ, who's supposed to be upon the altar right now? In the Mass, he comes. And this coming of Christ, why, it sums up everything which we believe. It is the mystery of mysteries, God's mysteries, but man's too. The mysteries of your life, which are not excluded from the chalice. How is that possible? In other words, our Lord is here. You children know this now, but you don't see him. And you won't taste him. It would taste like bread the first time, very light bread, but bread. But it's not bread. It's his body and blood. And when the bishop breaks the host, listen if you can hear it today, Christ is not broken. And our Lord dies on the altar today with the sword of the double consecration. And yet Christ suffers now no more, says St. Paul. He reigns glorious in heaven. And the Mass is Calvary. But it is also Christmas. And little Jesus comes down and is wrapped up in the swaddling cloths, the white linens of the altar. Understanding, that gift of the Holy Ghost, helps us to understand what it's all about. And finally, you can say, well, you see, and that's it. You see by the light of faith that in this one sacrament, we call it Blessed Sacrament, you have the whole of our Catholic faith in one point, in one moment. The Blessed Sacrament is the great secret of God's goodness. But it is only revealed to simple faith. I think that's one of the reasons we need First Communions, and we celebrate them each year with such joy, because this kind of truth is revealed only to a simple, childlike faith. Everything points to the Blessed Sacrament. Why did God make the world? Why did God make bread? Monsignor Knox says God made bread so that we might be fed in our souls by the Blessed Sacrament as well as in our bodies. And the Incarnation, about our Lord coming down from heaven to earth as he does on the altar. And the Blessed Trinity, that truth is here too. The Father and the Holy Ghost are present, as well as God the Son. And then everything you learned about grace and about sin and about salvation and about death and about life, they all point to the Blessed Sacrament. And you and I, what should we do? We should point to ourselves and beat our breast and say, Lord, I am not worthy, But I believe, if you want to solve the mystery, we should beat our breasts and say, who am I not to believe? I can't ever understand it fully, but my sense of taste comes into play here. Something is given to me to eat today. The gift of wisdom makes me taste its sweetness and desire it. And with my sense of taste, I can solve this mystery. Listen to these two words, solve and dissolve. They come from the same word, from the same root. As soon as you receive the Holy Communion today, children, the sacred host will start to melt in your mouth. It's so little and fragile, like the Holy Child, Jesus. And with it, as the sacred host melts and you swallow our Lord, you have solved the mystery. The mystery melts away, and it is God with you. How do we tell what something tastes like? We don't depend upon the FDA, I don't think, or chemical tests in a laboratory, I mean. We taste it with our tongue, with our taste buds. And that is exactly how we taste God. And we know all of the truths of our faith, and we solve the mystery. I give thee thanks, O Lord, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and hath revealed them to little ones. Now, shouldn't you and I approach with childlike simplicity of faith our Holy Communion today as well? The mystery of our life, that's a conundrum sometimes, isn't it? Try to solve that mystery some days or times. Here below, our life, even at our worst moments, is sustained by our Holy Communions. And we understand that our happiness comes not now, that's sin. By sin, you try to grab, like Prometheus, a bit of the bliss of paradise for yourself. And you might have one moment of ecstasy, but then heaven gives way to hell. No, you are meant to merit heaven during your life by your faith, by meriting by your faith and by your belief. Blessed are they who have not seen and who have believed. It's a laborious work, our faith, I mean, to keep your life full of it. There's so much darkness at times, and then the doubts creep in, don't they? And then there's a struggle, and then is suffering, and there is the separation of death. But we are never without joy, even unspeakable joy, even now and in this life, though we see not God. We don't see his plan, the bigger picture of things. Sometimes it seems we're just sitting in our dark corner, and yet, in some sense, you can feel him, even if you only feel God's presence by his absence. You sense he's there. His hand is in things, whether it be in some sudden flash of light, and you say to yourself, my prayer was answered. Or you think to yourself, I could never have arranged things this way, the way God did. Or just those long, lingering shadows, but you hang on, and it makes no difference. He who surpasses all of our knowledge, who loves us so much as to die for us, he wishes also to suffer and to die with us, to unite our nature to his, to share our sorrows, and to pour his life into them. That takes a while sometimes. For some, it takes a lifetime. But he waits for us, Jesus does, with longing ineffable. Mysteries Mysteries this morning are joined together and piled high for Corpus Christi and First Communion. And then they are solved so simply with the faith of a child. And our own are there in the chalice. It seems to overflow with mysteries, doesn't it? The mystery of our faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.